Short climbers are good at getting scrunchy, and tall climbers are good at climbing extended, right? Well, no, not always. Actually, not even most of the time. Believing that, particularly if you're one of those short or tall climbers, is a trap. And I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to tell you exactly how to make sure you don't fall into this trap, or if you're in it already, how to get out so that we can all extend our useful range. I'm Chris Hampton. You're listening to Tape Tips from Power Company Climbing. Let's get into it. It's time to build. Now, first off, just a reminder, these episodes are also YouTube videos where you'll get to see graphics explaining the concepts and demonstrations of the climbing examples and drills that I suggest. That link is in your show notes. Okay. Over the course of hundreds of in-person sessions over the past decade, I've met many short climbers who think that they're really good at getting high feet. And most tall climbers think they're good at using low feet. And some actually are. But the fact is, most just aren't. Sure, they might choose slightly higher or slightly further feet than the average size climber chooses, but relative to their size, they usually have a pretty similar range. Why does that even matter? Well, it matters because shorter and taller climbers are told or tell themselves this story that they're already good at it naturally due to their size, so they rarely, if ever, explore further. And because of this, they're held back from actually improving their range. And it's likely that if you climb in an area that rewards high steps and big lock-offs like the Blue Mountains or the New River Gorge, that you've adapted to being good at getting bunched up, particularly if you're average height or taller. But if you're short and climb in those areas, it's possible that you've actually gotten better at getting stretched out, but the bunchy nature of the climbing is, in reality, just a comfortable range for you. And even you, the short climber who uses high feet, are leaving options for even higher feet on the table. And the same goes for taller climbers. You skip cruxes and excel in areas that reward climbing tall, so the story you tell yourself, or that you've been told, is that you're good at getting stretched out. But we aren't falling for that. Because the best climbers, they can get bunchy, they can get extended, and they know when to employ which skill. We're going to learn how to do that too. First, let's define what we're talking about here. If we look at the full span of the average climber, their useful range is a little smaller than that full span. And the range they regularly choose is even smaller still. And now, if you can, imagine Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man or a climber starfished at Smith Rock. On average, the useful range is probably somewhere around the wrists and ankles, and the often chosen range probably closer to mid-forearm and mid-shin. And that might seem a bit harsh, but in all but two or three cases over nearly 30 years of climbing, when someone says they are fully extended, it's easy to see that they often have another 6 to 8 inches before that's actually true. Consider checking yourself next time you say fully extended. I bet you're not. In this useful range, many climbers refer to it as the box that we climb in. I've used this term for a long time, but it's misleading. Because we don't actually have access to everything inside the box that's created by our widest useful range. There's a limit to not only how extended we can get, but also how bunchy we can get. For the average climber, their useful range on the inside of the box seems to be a little inside of the shoulder width, somewhere around mid-thigh. Any holds inside of that often don't even register as options. But when we look at the common chosen range, many of us tend to choose holds not much higher than our knees and only just outside of our shoulders. So I now prefer to look at this useful range not as a box, but as a frame. And while the best climbers have very wide frames that they move in, most of us have frames that are way too thin. We're leaving a lot of options on the table. And in my opinion, it's important to understand both the inner and outer limits of your frame so that you can make the most of the range that you currently have. And so the outside of the frame represents how extended you can be and still have some semblance of control. And knowing those limits does several things. It allows you to anticipate how much you have to give to a big move. It allows you to know what you need to do with your feet to make that position advantageous. And spending time in and improving these extended positions will not only reduce hesitation when faced with a big move and allow you to create tension or generate momentum from these positions, but it will open up new ways to get through every section of every climb that you ever do. On the flip side, the inside of the frame represents how bunchy you can be and still be effective. Can you actually load your feet when they're at the same level as your hands? Or how high is too high? Does it feel more chaotic or stressful when you get scrunched up? And getting better at these bunched up positions is going to give you more options in more situations, just like getting extended. And the interesting thing is that very often, the two work together. It's incredibly common that when you do a big move that leaves you extended, you're then faced with, a move or two later, having to get your feet really high. Like I talked about in the last Tape Tips episode, hard climbing is very often about moving from a not quite stable position through a very unstable path to another not quite stable position. It's common that those moves are big, and then followed by having to get your feet close to your hands, sometimes just to do another big move from that scrunchy position. So learning just one expanded range is not enough. We need to be able to use both. So the question is, how can we, one, avoid falling for the trap of these stories, and two, widen our frames or improve our useful range? The best way I've seen, by far, to accomplish both things is to use a drill that, in my opinion, might be the most underrated skill drill in all of climbing. We call it one size fits all. First, let's take a look at how to do the drill, and then we'll examine how it helps us reach our goals. What you're going to do is follow the set hand sequence of a boulder problem, but use any feet. And first, you'll climb the problem trying to be as extended as you possibly can for each move. That means that for each move, you'll have to make a decision. You'll look up at your handhold and then figure out where the most distant foot you can use is. And that can be directly below or out to the side or anywhere, as long as it challenges you to get extended. And you should feel free to walk your feet around on several holds to get into position to try the move. And also test the choices you're making a little bit. If you settle on a foot, you move out to it, and you think, oh, I'm going to be able to reach that pretty easily. Maybe I can get a slightly further foot. Do it. And then here's the real magic. Evaluate your choices after you're done. Did you do the move easily? Did you fall off? Did you fall off because you lost tension or chose a poor position? Or is the hold actually just too far away to keep your foot on? Now, redo the problem or the individual moves, making better or at least different choices. And now repeat the whole thing, but doing every move as scrunchy as possible. You can match hand-foot, or you can even step your foot above your hands. What we're looking for here are positions you're a little uncomfortable in, but that you can still make work for the sequence you're doing. And the goal isn't just to get your feet as high up the wall as possible. You're not looking to walk your feet way up and bat hang off of a jug. Instead, it's to find challenging positions that feel a little too bunchy for you, and then finding a way to make them work. And I'd start out by doing one size fits all on relatively easy terrain. It's going to be physically challenging, even on the biggest holds. And as you get used to it there, you can move it to harder warm-ups and then to moderates and beyond. And you'll find that your useful range will change as the hand and footholds get worse. So once you're doing it well on good holds, move to worse holds. That's going to help it translate to hard climbing outside. One size fits all works best on a spray wall or densely set bouldering wall. You can certainly still get benefit from it doing it on set commercial boards, but keep in mind that if you're on a board that's on a strict grid, like a moon board, there are going to be big gaps between the options you can and can't use. So you might not be able to quite maximize your useful range. And remember, you get to decide where to put your feet, essentially choosing the body positions. And if you're switching up the angles and grip types enough, it's likely that you'll be constrained in a realistic enough way that you won't always get your top choice of body position. But you're also going to have to use some intention not to just default to where you're the strongest. You should be doing that with every drill you do. You'll also want to get plenty of rest between these efforts, and don't feel like you have to do entire problems. You can pick individual moves or sequences that you have a hard time with and spend time on those. But keep the goal of the session in mind. Like I said, it's physically challenging, so if you get too sucked in, your session might just be derailed. This drill and getting better at climbing both extended and bunched not only prepares you for the cruxes of boulders and roots that will demand this of you, but it also gives you more options on nearly every single move you'll ever do. More options often means that you'll more quickly find the method that suits you, and you won't get shut down on as many moves at your top level. And by gradually learning what's actually possible for you, in both directions, you're better prepared to not believe those stories that you're just naturally good at this skill. Now you know you're good at it because you've worked for it. All right, like I mentioned before, we have a great video showing all of these concepts on YouTube. If this sounds like something you could use, I suggest watching it. The link is right there in your show notes. You'll also find links to a ton of resources, as well as a sign-up link for our monthly newsletter, The Current, where every month we connect the dots between our podcasts, videos, articles, and anything else that we're learning and exploring. Power Company Climbing. Learn, grow, excel.
This time to fix, 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 this time to fix,